the truth of Halloween or the truth about Halloween. Let's pray. Father, we do pray, Lord, that your Spirit would lead us and guide us tonight, Lord, into all truth. Lord, we realize there's so much error out there and so many things that are leading people astray and away from the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that we might have a proper, balanced perspective on our life and how we're to live this life, and especially when we come into certain holidays that the root of it glorifies the devil, glorifies death, destruction, and the devil. And so, Lord, I pray that we might be able to understand and also have wisdom in holidays and in maneuvering our lives and really teaching our children in these types of situations and types of holidays. Lord, you don't want us to recluse, hide out until this passes, but Lord, you want us to be effective witnesses for you. And we can turn a holiday that's dedicated to the devil and seances and wickedness and evil, we can turn that into a night of light and love and salvation. So help us tonight, Lord, as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I was a Christian, I would take my kids out trick-or-treating in our neighborhood. We lived out in the North Shore, so you didn't have any street lights out there back in that time, and so it was pretty dark. So I'd take the kids out, and they would collect candy, and I didn't know too much what Halloween was all about. But I do remember one house, and I remember exactly the house it was and the street it was. And as the kids went up to the door, the person just cracked the door just enough to where that person could whisper out, "We don't celebrate Halloween," and close the door. Happened to be one of the Jehovah's Witnesses in the neighborhood. Now, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know much about religion, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, a lot of Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses out there, and Baha'i, and a lot of New Age transcendental meditation, and a lot of gurus, and a lot of just mystic type of things. And I was searching, but I didn't know what for. And when that person that I knew, they were a religious person, when they said that and the kids came, and little kids, you know, they're just there to collect candy and they're a little bit intimidated, you know, when people do that. And so they came out and they just said, "Oh, he doesn't celebrate Halloween," you know, and so we went to the next house. And I thought, you know what? That's not a very good witness for what he's representing. I thought in my own life, I have enough problems in my own life where I don't want to follow that kind of religion and add to it, "Thou shalt not commit Halloween." And I thought, you know, it just really turned me off as a non-believer. Now, I realize, you know, when it comes to Halloween and as we look into the origins of it, I know that there are pastors out there that almost forbid their people to do anything on Halloween, especially have the kids go out and collect candy and that kind of thing, and really making people feel very guilty if they ever do anything like that. And, you know, to me, I'm not into straitjacket Christianity where you're so legalistic you're afraid to do anything. I want to take everything that we have available and turn it into a witness for Jesus Christ. And so when we look at Halloween and we look at the origins of it, it is evil, but we can take that time and we can take that day and we can turn it to glorify Jesus Christ, because I don't think a lot of people know what Halloween is all about. I mean, I didn't when I was a kid. I love Halloween when I was a kid. We went out with pillowcases. I mean, we didn't fill them up all the way, but you could tell we wanted to collect a bunch of candy. We went out and we collected as much candy as we possibly could. But, you know, some of us as kids, we got an idea, why don't we go out the next night after Halloween? Because people probably still have candy. So we went out afterwards and collected candy the second night. And so we loved it. We loved it. And people that, you know, that they didn't come through with candy, we would put cherry bombs in their pumpkins and blow their pumpkins up. I know I wasn't a very nice kid, but we did that. Or we would toilet paper the house, you know, and the trees, you know, if they didn't come through with candy. I was a little rebel back then as a little kid, but I didn't know what we were celebrating. I had no idea what it was. We were just collecting candy. But then, of course, you have the images of witches out there in the yard or hanging, you know, from the windows, and you have the goblins and the ghosts and graveyards. People would put, you know, graveyards. They would make their front yard into graveyards. You'd have vampires and skeletons and black cats and all that stuff. I didn't know what it was, but I figured out it must have something to do with the world of the dead. It must have something to do with that, something black, something dark. But then they would say, "Happy Halloween." Really? Happy Halloween? Ghosts and goblins and graveyards and stuff? I thought, boy, how different is that? It just doesn't seem to portray the message. It's what you might call an oxymoron. Kind of like, well, die healthy. If you're going to die, die healthy. Well, those are two things that don't seem to fit together. Or grape nuts. Don't seem to fit together. There's not grapes in there and there's not nuts, but they're called grape nuts. I had compiled, and I thought it was kind of funny when thinking about, you know, things that don't seem to fit together. Happy Halloween really doesn't fit with it, and you'll see as we go on. But there's a fella by the name of Mike Archer. He was an editorial writer for the Orlando Sentinel, and he compiled not so accurate headlines, and they could kind of be read one way or another. Let me just read them, and you could kind of put the interpretation yourself. But this is what he compiled, and these were the headlines in different newspapers. Police begin campaign to run down jaywalkers. Drunk gets 9 months in violin case. Farmer Bill dies in house. Iraqi head seeks arms. Eye drops off shelf. Just depends on how you read it. Eye drops off shelf. Just depends on how you read it, but those are the headlines. Squad helps dog bite victim. Or read it how it's supposed to be. Squad helps dog bite victim. Goes on, miners refuse to work after death. Juvenile court to try shooting defendant. Stolen painting found by tree. Two sisters reunited after 18 years in checkout counter. Express lane. If strike isn't settled quickly, it may last a while. Okay. Red tape holds up new bridge. I could put in here, red tapes hold up new radio station, because it does in the state. They're, you know, getting our permit to us, but that's an interesting little headline. And then a few more here. Man struck by lightning faces battery charges. New study of obesity looks for a larger test group. Kids make nutritious snacks. Local high school dropouts cut in half. Man minus ear waves hearing. Old school pillars are replaced by alumni. Hospital sues 7-foot doctors. Should be read, hospital sued by 7-foot doctors. Not 7-foot doctors, podiatrists. And a couple more. Astronaut takes blame for gas in spacecraft. And last one, include your children when baking cookies. You see, all those, they don't quite fit together. And I know sometimes they'll craft a headline to grab your attention so that you'll read what they're really talking about. But you see, Halloween really is not that happy when you look at it. I mean, as a kid, I thought it was happy, you know, just by collecting candy. But when you look at the pagan origin of Halloween, it started from pagan superstition relating to Samhain. And Samhain is a Celtic New Year initiated, the Celtic New Year initiated by the high priest or the Druids 2,000 years before that, and they practice occultism and nature worship. So when you look at Halloween, you go all the way back many, many years to occultism and nature worship. They thought that objects and forces had souls. So they believed that trees had souls. They believed that rocks had souls. They believed that the elements had souls, like the wind and the rain and that kind of thing. And so they worshiped that. I mean, we look at Earth Day, and that moves toward that, doesn't it? And the Celtics were Aryans who came from Asia to Europe. And Samhain, or we call it Halloween now, it was a sinister festival held in October 31st, the time of year that supposedly where the line of separation between the dead and the living was the thinnest. A thin separation, a fragile separation between the living and the dead. And so they thought at that time, on October 31st, you could possibly, and many tried to do this, to contact the dead. It was the best time for seances and a contact of the dead, contact the spirit world. That was most favorable October 31st. In fact, Houdini, he died October 31st, 1926. Remember what Houdini said? He's going to perform the greatest feat ever. He's going to come back from the dead. So do you realize that every October 31st, for the last 89 years, there have been seances, occultic meetings to try to contact Houdini, and hoping that he will come back from the dead at that time, or at least make contact with him. It's gone on October 31st. Now, one of the interesting things, you find that there is what is called a blue moon. And that doesn't mean the moon is blue. It just means that there are two full moons in a month's period of time. In 2001, October 31st, the second full moon appeared. And so a lot of those that were with seances and so forth, they felt that, this is the time to contact the dead. Because that only happened 42 years prior to 2001. And they say the next time that's going to happen, two full moons in October, and the last one, October 31st, will be in 2020. And so at that time, they put a lot of stock in the days, and it's kind of a mystical, magical time. They believe that there is an ability to contact the dead. And so on October 31st, there will be seances, there will be occultic meetings all over the world at that time, because that's a high holy day of Satan, and it's a time to seek to contact departed spirits. And so I wouldn't hold your breath or have anybody hold their breath if they think that Houdini's going to come back on, anytime soon. He's not. The Bible says it's appointed for man once to die, and then comes the judgment. That's a sad thing, followers of Houdini every October 31st, thinking that they're going to contact him, and then they don't. They die, and they go join him in death, but it's just not going to happen. Samhain night is the night of the Lord of Death, the Lord of Death. And it's the gathering of souls, evil souls, supposedly. And the evil souls are assigned animal forms. and they're condemned to inhabit those animal forms in the next year. So when you see these Halloween parties, have you ever seen that with animal mask on? Certain types of animal mask? Well, that's what they're mimicking. They're mimicking the Lord of Death, who's now drawn up the departed souls, the evil dead, and assigning them certain animal images for the next year. But then they would say for the good dead would be reincarnated in a human form. And in that reincarnation, or in that spirit form, they would go and visit their former homes. And so you have haunted houses. And the haunted houses would be for those departed spirits that have come back, and they're now going and visiting their stomping grounds or their homes. So you have haunted houses. I don't know if you've checked the news out lately, but they have got some of the most wicked and evil and bizarre, not only haunted houses, where they're how they're fixing up their houses, they're stuffing clothes, and so the clothes that have stuffing in it, they'll lay it out on their driveway or in their pathway, and it'll be like a dead body. And some people are calling 911 because it looks like a dead body. Or they're hanging effigies on trees and around their house, and they're just like dead bodies. Some of them are impaling these stuffed bodies and putting, you know, some kind of red painter on it in pitchforks and stuff, or impaling them on huge spikes. And it is grotesque. Bloody images. It is macabre. Macabre. And it's a perverse kind of mentality. And who's behind it? I think some people do it just to get, you know, go to the very edge of the edge. And you don't realize the motivation. Satan is the god of this world. And it's not just fun and games. It's not just happy Halloween. But it's really evil. You see, the Druid priest, they would make offerings at that time of fruits and even animal sacrifices. There are human sacrifices that take place around Halloween. Some think, oh, that's just sensationalism. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's not just sensationalism. It's real. Satan is real. And he has followers, and they're real. And they do that. They will take indigent people, they will take homeless people, or they will kidnap kids on the street, and they will sacrifice them. And I mean, it's too gruesome to even point out that kind of thing, but it goes back to the Druid worship. And they would do that. They would offer these things and fruits and animals and even human sacrifice to lessen the punishment, to appease the Lord of Death. It's very real. It's very worshipful. It's a demonic kind of worship, but that is what takes place. They will also have fire festivals of worship, where again, they will practice sacrificing animals, sacrificing different kinds of fruits, and even human sacrifices. A lot of these fire festivals are very private. And again, it's intended to appease and frighten away souls of evil, the evil dead. And also, those who will revisit their houses or their homes. And so they do this. There's kind of a good and an evil about it. They say they're good souls that come back, that the Lord of Death will let them inhabit a body. And then there are evil souls that inhabit demons. And so they even want to appease, or they want to scare off these spirits that come around, whether they come around to haunt houses or they come around to harass and hassle individuals. But it's a day-long event where ghosts and witches and goblins and fallen spirits, demons, are supposedly roaming the earth in their belief. Well, we do know there are demonic spirits. We do know there are spirits of demons. And also, they want to hinder the supernatural power of these souls that they say control nature. So when nature is unleashed, they think that through these offerings, through these fire festivals, they can calm down, they can appease, they can appease the souls that inhabit the natural forces because they believe in, you know, nature worship. And so they believe that the evil spirits, they played tricks on humans. And thus you find that during Halloween, you find some of the most hideous masks. You find some that are, you know, not so hideous, but you'll find masks that are grotesque and hideous. And so they will wear the mask. They will dance around the bonfires and in order to scare away the spirits. Food would be laid out for good spirits. And so it all deals with the dead. Now, it's only in the 20th century that Halloween began to be celebrated in America. It wasn't celebrated when Europe began it, but just in the 20th century. And Fire Festival, it's interesting how in the 20th century in Detroit, check your papers, because usually in Detroit, they have what is called Devil's Night. And some 300 fires are set. It's Devil's Night. Why are they set? I don't even know if the people understand why they're setting these fires. I don't know if they know the whole origin of what they're doing, but they do it. It's almost like they're dupes of the devil. And so you'll find and read your papers. It'll be interesting to see what kind of fires and the extent of fires that are set in Detroit on Devil's Night. In one article, I read that 300 fires were set. And it is the high unholy night for Satan. Arthur Lyons, in his book, The Second Coming, Satanism in America, he says, and I quote, "The United States has the fastest growing and most highly developed body of Satanists in the world. A recent University of Chicago national poll revealed that 67% of Americans, and I quote, now profess a belief in the supernatural, and 42% believe that they have contacted the dead." Interesting. Usually at Christmas, we will celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and at Easter, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Halloween, they celebrate the occult. They celebrate the abode of the dead. That's why you see what you see. That's why what is going on October 31st is all about death, destruction, and the devil, and evil. Its master is Satan. Occult comes from the Latin word occultus, and it means to cover up, to hide, or conceal. And the purpose of covering up, concealing, is to deceive. It's amazing how many people follow along in Halloween. They have absolutely no idea what they're doing. Happy Halloween. And it's such an oxymoron because it's a demonic celebration. It's a celebration of the devil. When Satan was first created, he was called the anointed cherub that covers, or Lucifer was his name, or light bearer. In fact, you find in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 on, let me talk a little bit about the devil and what he's up to, because it speaks about Satan's fall, the five I wills of Satan. In Isaiah 14, verse 13, going down to verse 17, the Lord says to Isaiah, "But you said in your heart," speaking of Lucifer, "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." That is Satan speaking. He's speaking rebelliously out to the angels and to God. That's what he's going to do. his rebellion. And then the Lord says in verse 15, "Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit." That hasn't happened yet. He will soon in the recesses of the pit. "Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, 'Is this the one who made the earth tremble?'" The term there for earth trembling is phobos. Giving people fear or phobias. Do you realize now, in our 21st century, they have listed medically over 530 phobias? Do you think Satan has got a hand, has got his hand on planet Earth to make people tremble or with phobias? Oh, yes, big time. "Who shook kingdoms?" To shake kingdoms means to destabilize nations. And destabilizing is to make threats to others, a disrespect for authority, a destabilization of powers. It goes on and says, "Who made the world like a wilderness." So like a wilderness, he pollutes the world. Not just pollution, but morally. Not just physically, but morally. He pollutes every aspect of what is good and what is decent, what is right, what is of God. He's done that. We see that today. "And overthrow its cities." To overthrow cities is literally to put in danger cities. You look at the crime in cities, you look at the drugs, you look at the prostitutions, you look at the violence in cities, and Satan is at the root of that. And he also says, "who did not allow the prisoners to go home." In other words, he keeps people in bondages. Look at the emotional and spiritual and physical and moral bondages with drugs and alcohol and mind-altering drugs and the bondage that people are in. And there's no freedom. He says that is what he's done. And that is the result of his fall. But it also goes on in Ezekiel 28, verse 12. It says what he was before the fall. Lucifer, this light bearer. God had exalted him. God had given him an incredible position. Ezekiel 28, 12 says, "Thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis, lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you on the day that you were created. They were prepared," in verse 14, "you were the anointed cherub who covers." In other words, God's appointed guardian of the angelic host. Many believe that he led the angelic host in worship. He was one of the highest cherubs. Cherub is an angel, one of the highest. Can't get much higher. Maybe you have Gabriel and you have some others, but he was a very high angel. Michael as well. And then it goes on and it says, "I placed you there," verse 14, second part. "You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire," verse 15. "You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you." And we read that, the I wills, that iniquity found in you. "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you." When you think of the devil, sometimes the image of the devil, and really I think the devil's behind this. You have the devil that is half man and half maybe half horse. You have him with horns. You have him ugly and sinister and evil. Or you have that old picture of Satan with a long tail and horns and a pitchfork and red flannel suit. Doesn't look very attractive. I mean, you'd want to stay away from him. But no, Satan or Lucifer is one of the most beautiful of God's creation. He would draw you in. He could grace the cover of any magazine and draw people in. Man of the Year, GQ Magazine, Vanity Fair, you know, whatever it might be to draw a person in. He's not hideous. He's hideous in what he does and the evil intent in his heart. But you see, sin can be very attractive. Temptation can be very attractive. And the Bible says sin is good for a season. I mean, it's attractive for a season, but then comes death. Sin's not always, you know, so wicked and so evil that, oh, I would never go out. No, it's attractive to our sin nature. And Satan is behind it. And so, because what the Lord says about him, because he's lost that position, he's been cast out, now he's the god of this world, as I mentioned, and the celebration of October 31st celebrates, he's celebrating, and all those that are his, whether they know it or not, they're celebrating this high, unholy day of Satan. But you see, misery loves company. He wants people to follow him in that. And we find he started it out way back in Genesis, didn't he? And he's working the same work even today. And he's doing it big time. But what happened back in Genesis, and you can just see the pattern of how he works. He doesn't change his patterns. He might change the packaging a little bit. But you see the motivation and the way about him is the same. Notice when Adam and Eve, they were in the garden, and they were in relationship, fellowship with God. They had everything. Can you think of the millions of trees in the garden they could be satisfied with? And there was only one that God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge and evil, of good and evil, for in the day that you do it, you shall surely die. There was only one tree they couldn't eat. They could eat of the, we don't know how many trees, but probably millions of different types of trees to satisfy them. And so Satan's there. Satan, he had fallen. And God has to give man a choice, otherwise man's just a robot. He's like one of the little dolls that you press, you know, and that it's got a little computer thing in it, and the little doll will speak, you know, whatever the computer says. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to be a little computer, you know, a little wind-up toy. He wants us to have a free will, so he gives us a choice, whether we want to serve God or we want to leave God and go follow Satan and sin. So he had to give Adam and Eve a choice, so Satan's in the garden. And their choice was to follow God or follow Satan. And so here the devil is in the garden, you find in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And the Bible says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Interesting, Satan questioning God's word. Satan will always do that, to strike up a conversation, to strike up the mind to think beyond what God has given. And so he strikes up a conversation and questions God's word. Has God said? Yeah, God said. But then in verse 2, Eve says, and the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the tree, fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. Notice what Eve does that is something we should never do. She added to the word of God. God never said anything about touching it, but she added to it, we shall not touch. It's not a wise thing to add to the word of God, because from that point, you begin to doubt the Word of God. That's when Satan's got you. He's fishing. He's reeling you in. So you just added something that is not in the Word of God. God helps those who help themselves. Or pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, I mean, we say a lot of things that aren't biblical. And people kind of, you know, go by that. And so adding to the Word of God, and notice verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Notice Satan contradicts God's word. He's basically saying what God said, or what the devil says today, the Bible doesn't really mean what it says. Satan to Eve, God doesn't really mean what he says. It's just allegorical. The Bible is just allegorical. It's just an illustration of general truth. Now, let me tell you what the truth really is. Have you ever heard that, especially with evolution? That just bugs me, especially when Christians begin to get into evolution or theistic evolution. That is so wrong. It is so false. It is so satanic to be led down that road. If God didn't create Adam and Eve, and you're saying there was a race of human beings before that, the whole Bible's messed up. Because the Bible said Eve is the mother of all creation. And through one man, sin came into the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all sin. So you have Eve, the mother of all creation. You have Adam, his sin was transferred to us. If you had a human race before that, then you have another woman or another Eve, and so the Bible's off. And obviously, if there were people millions of years before that and they died out, oh, then death before sin. It just messes the entire Bible up, and you can make the Bible say anything you want. That's why I think the devil is in the details of those professing Christians who believe in theistic evolution, the Big Bang. We had to take a pastor off our radio station because he was pushing the Big Bang. No way. Not in K-Lite Radio. You're not going to do that with our people. You can do it with your people in your church, but not with the people that listen to K-Lite. And so if you're talking about the Big Bang and millions of years of evolution to where man got to where he is, I would just ask one simple thing. If it took millions of years to man to be where he is now, where's the population? Where's the population? It took until the 19th century to have the first billion people on planet Earth. And then another 100 years, you had 3 billion people in the 20th century. And then in the 21st century, you had over 7 billion people. That's only in a matter of 200 years. If millions of years, where's the population? Where are all the people? Common sense will tell you that when people begin to try to contradict the Bible, it's nonsensical and it just doesn't make sense. And so here, the devil is contradicting the Word of God. And notice in verse 5, he says, "For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So notice now the devil attacks the character of God, challenges the integrity of God and His Word. God knows, you know, He's keeping from you. He's keeping this good stuff from you. And He knows that you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. Yet you are going to be like God, like the God of this world, Satan. That's who you're going to be like. You're going to follow in His footsteps and be separated from God, from the true and living God, just like Satan is. So you see, there's always a little bit of truth in there, but it's the wrong kind of truth. That intimating that God's holding out from you, keeping you down by not letting you have all this that you could have. And in reality, God wants to maintain and keep you in fellowship. Not what Satan wants you to do. Be out of fellowship, be in separation from God like he is. And so the attack. And then in verse 6, it said, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable for to make one wise, she took from it its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves loin coverings. That must have been very uncomfortable. Fig leaves, you know, covering you. But notice the tragedy here. There was a loss of innocence. You know, one of the things that's so adorable and you love about children is there's such an innocence there. They can look into your face and they don't have any guile. They're not judging you. They're not looking at, you know, your wrinkles. Although one of the kids, you know, they were about six, they said, Pastor Bill, what are those wrinkles on your forehead? They're so innocent. And I said, in about 60 years, you might get those too, you know, but they're so innocent. Now here, Adam and Eve, they've lost their innocence. Now they have a sense of shame and a sense of guilt. That's what comes with following the devil's word instead of God's word. Verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Notice what sin does. It brings with it a sense of condemnation and separation. That's what God said, in the day that you eat, you shall die. They didn't die immediately physically, but they died separated from God spiritually. And the death that he was talking about, you're going to be separated from your body physically, your soul and spirit will be separated because of death. God never intended death to be part of his creation. And so he came to redeem us from sin and death, that we might go from this life to the next. He who lives and believes in Jesus Christ shall never die. We'll go from this life to the next life. You see, that's the good news. But now notice them, that sense of condemnation, that separation. In verse 9, then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? I don't think that was a stern, harsh voice. Adam, where are you? I think it was, Adam, where are you? God knew where he was. He just wanted Adam to fess up. Wanted him to confess what he did, trying to draw him out, draw him to that place of repentance. That's what God always does, wants to draw us back to himself. And then Adam said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. Notice the focus now of Adam and Eve. The focus is off God. Before sin, it was totally, everything was all about God. God's goodness, God's grace, everything that God had given. Just this innocence, this freedom that they had in God. And now notice it's on self. Notice the five times Adam says, I. Interesting. Not only that, but then the blame game began. You know, it was this woman that you gave me. So not only the woman, but you gave me that woman. And then the woman, of course, she blamed the serpent. You know, the blame game began. But I think it's interesting when you look at this. Remember, we dealt with the devil in Isaiah 14, the I wills. The five I wills of the devil became the five I dids of Adam. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. the focus off the Lord, separation from the Lord, onto self, onto sin, onto me. You see, the devil, he has always, and he always will, seek to isolate you from God. He will seek to have his kingdom celebrated, which is what October 31st is. And he seeks to separate and keep you as he is in eternal state of condemnation and separation. Now, when we came to the Lord, we've been drawn back to him. Never depart from that place. And I think it's important for us, as the Bible says, we don't have to fear the devil. I lay out all that stuff, and if you pick up the track, I even go in more detail into other things. We don't have time tonight to do that, but more details of that. But you see, Satan has been defeated. There's nothing for us to fear. That's why I don't understand why pastors, they get so uptight around Halloween in warning and almost demanding that their people not do anything and wait till it passes, when I think you could take that day and turn it into something good. Because Jesus said in John 14:30, the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Well, he's come. Satan is here. He has nothing in Christ, and greater is he who is in you, Jesus Christ, than he who is in the world. So we have much more power, a lot greater power in us than is in the world. Jesus said in John 16:33, in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Take courage. I have overcome the world. So yeah, there's a lot of temptation, tribulation, a lot of trials and things going on in the world that is hectic and it's horrible. But notice, the Lord has overcome the world. And the Bible says in Colossians 2:13-15, and when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, in other words, in our old nature, we couldn't do anything about our condition, absolutely nothing. We were hopeless and helpless. That's what it's saying. He made you, God made you, Jesus made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgression, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and the authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So Jesus has done it all. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That slate is wiped clean. And over in its place has been written, a child of God, saved and washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is us for all eternity. The Bible tells us death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:54. So what do? When you know these things, Halloween comes around. Well, you don't pull the shades and hide out and wait for tomorrow. Some Christians would like to do that, have you do that. And you don't necessarily just kind of send the kids out to collect candy, or you give candy without any kind of a witness. Why would you do that? Why would you give in to the devil's holiday? Why not, better yet, if you're going to go out with the kids, because we used to, until we had the alternate celebrations and family fun night. If you do, put a track in the hand of your child, and as that child goes to the door, you're standing on the curb watching them, you know, collect the candy. Have your child, you know, get the candy and say, this is from my mom and dad. You're out on the street, and then when they take it and they look out there, you wave. Hey, what do you know? Track for treat. And if you're home and the kids come around collecting candy, hey, put the candy in there, but also put a track for treat. so that you can use what Satan wants to use for evil, you can use it for good for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, turn the night that celebrates death, the devil, and destruction into a night of life, love, and light. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find that you can, during the Halloween season, you can just feel like, man, I was a witness in this season, and I know this isn't a holy night, it's an unholy night. There's a lot of bad stuff happening, but if I can just maybe put a track in, and you'd be amazed at how many people get saved through tracks. We had a fella in our church when we were out in the North Shore, and we were passing out tracks, and this fella had gotten a track. He was very antagonistic toward the gospel. He put the track in his back pocket. He didn't throw it away. He went home, he threw it on the table, and not thinking anything of it. And I'm not quite sure, I can't remember the total story, but I'm not sure if it was a day or two later. He was going through something, don't know what it was, but he picked the track up and he began to read it. And the Lord had put him in such a state to where that track, he read that track, and it was a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he repented from his sins. He got on his knees. He accepted Christ. His life was radically turned around. He began to come to church, and he began a solid Christian in church. And that was his testimony of somebody handing him a track. He was resistant. He kept the track. He read it at one point, and he got saved through that track. So don't think lightly of just simply passing out tracts and doing something that seems to be so simple, during the Halloween season. Here we're gonna have a great time here with the kids from 6:30 to about 8:30, and as I mentioned, you can come with the kids, and we've got a great flyer that we're going to be handing out. I had mentioned it already, and it basically welcomes them to our services and then the Sunday school, because obviously they brought their kids, so this could be an invitation for their kids, and then also the Sunday night Awana Club. So to us, it's good strategy for us, and then, as they pick it up and they read it on the back, how to get to heaven from Hawaii. That's a pretty catchy phrase. And so they could, you never know. We want to pray over the tracks and say, Lord, just use these to reach people for Christ. So let's pray ourselves. Father, we do just thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have around a season that we don't know, we just really don't know the half of the evil that takes place during these times and the debauchery that takes place in people's lives. Just the wickedness, the evil, it would be absolutely shocking. And Lord, I'm glad that you've hidden us from that. Lord, we don't want to go into the sewer and discover all the evil that goes on. But Lord, I pray that we might come to a higher level, a higher place. And each one of us might be a witness this Halloween for your goodness, your grace, that you did deliver us from the kingdom of darkness. And you delivered us, you translated us to the kingdom of your beloved Son, that kingdom of light, love, and salvation, life in Christ. Lord, we thank you for that. So, Lord, I do pray that every single flyer that we hand out, every single tract that we give out, Lord, I pray your anointing would be upon those, and that you would turn people's hearts from this world. And I know that so many people celebrate in ignorance. They don't even know what they're doing. They're just feeling like they're having fun. But I do pray, Lord, that you would just turn people to yourself this Halloween, and that we would hear the testimonies of how you brought people from darkness to light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.